Job growth surges in the U.S.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, the 8th of March. And the Labor Department reported today that 236,000 jobs were added last month. That was much better than expected. The unemployment rate fell from 7.9 to 7.7%, which is the lowest in 4 years. For analysis, we're joined by Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like this is a pretty good number, Julia.
It certainly is a pretty good number. It is in line with what we've been seeing in the last few months, which is a stronger, more resilient labor market. And there are some real pockets of strength that are encouraging.
Well, let's talk about those first. I mean, where are the sectors that are seeing the best job growth?
Well, not surprisingly, construction was very strong, adding 48,000 jobs, strongest reading in a very long time. We've seen the housing sector pick up, so that's good news. The tourism and retail industries continue to be sources of strength. And, of course, healthcare is a steady bedrock of hiring in this economy.
And who's lagging behind?
Government. Government is continuing to shed workers. This wasn't the sequester, though. This was all on the state and local side. There was a 10,000 decline in state and local government employment. That includes teachers and other state and local government workers. And we're still waiting on the impact of the sequester.
And the unemployment rate, as we said, went down from 7.9 to 7.7%. And the question always is, when that happens, is that good news or is that because people are leaving the labor force?
Well, this time around, it's a bit of both. So we did see the healthy gain in jobs, but we did see participation fall. So in particular, young people gave up the search again. That's not good news. And had the participation rate not declined, the unemployment rate would have actually held steady at 7.9%. So that's not exactly the way we want to make progress.
And we'll still have to see, of course, what the sequester does when that kicks in. Maybe we'll find out more next month. Julia
exactly.
Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks as always.
It's a pleasure.
And now we're going to go to the White House for our next guest. It's Alan Krueger. He is the chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so you said this morning that more work remains to be done, and I wonder what specifically that means to you.
Well, we still have too many Americans unemployed. We still have a middle class that has been under stress for some time. Improving the recovery, making sure that the recovery continues, making sure that the economy creates good middle-class jobs remains the president's North Star, and it's important that we don't mess it up.
Well, so what do you want to be done? Do you want Congress to do something specifically?
Well, as the president has said repeatedly, the sequester, which took effect early in March, is bad policy. I think people across the political spectrum will look at it, think it's bad policy. It imposes a set of indiscriminate cuts which don't solve our long-term deficit problem, doesn't address the causes of our long-term deficits, and the Congressional Budget Office forecast will shave economic growth by 0.6% and reduce job growth by around 750,000 jobs by the end of the year. So the president has proposed a balanced approach to put us on a sustainable fiscal path, which includes closing tax loopholes to raise additional revenue, includes reforming our entitlements so that they're around for generations to come, and a smarter set of spending cuts.
But no economists out there really think that the sequester is going to be undone at this point. I mean, is that what you're saying, that there's a possibility that Congress and the president are going to get together now and undo the sequester?
Well, listen, the president has been reaching out to Congress. He made phone calls to many members of Congress this past week. He had a dinner with senators from the Republican side a couple of nights ago. He met with the ranking and chairman of the Budget Committee in the House. Next week, he's going to meet with the caucuses. So we are working to try to put us on a better fiscal path. It's going to take some time. We would like to see the Congress move back to regular order in terms of passing a budget. But I think your listeners should be aware that the sequester, those automatic spending cuts that no one thought would take effect, are going to do some real damage to the economy over time.
Well, now, let me preface this by saying this report overall is a very good report, but I do want to focus on one number that is a little alarming, which is that the teenage unemployment rate is 25%.
teenage unemployment rate has been high for some time, and it's a sign that the economy is not strong enough, and that's why the president remains focused on trying to support this recovery.
Alan Krueger, chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, thanks so much.
Thank you.
With the trend toward buying local food from local farms, you'd think it would be easy for local farmers to get some startup cash, but it isn't. So the federal government is stepping in to help, as Marketplace's Eve Tro reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
In lush Escondido, California, Karen Archiplay started an organic vegetable farm with her husband about 6 years ago.
We're looking at rainbow chard and Luciano kale, and we harvest this every Saturday for Sunday's farmers markets. And now we're selling more and more to the stores as well.
The whole farm is just 3 acres, but it provides well for the Archiplays, plus a few employees.
So you can take the size of a parking lot and make a very good living.
This is the lifestyle that I want to pursue.
Ray Shields just started his farm nearby, called Amber Waves Organics. His chickens and turkeys have sold well. Now he wants to grow more vegetables.
I want to have a sustainable organic farm of such a size that I can provide employment opportunities for maybe 8 or so, maybe 10 veterans if I can get them to come there.
Shields is retired Navy. But traditional farm loans aren't designed for his vision, says Elizabeth Yu. She's author of the forthcoming book, Finance for Food.
Financing either goes to very large industrial-scale farmers or primarily to farmers of commodity crops that aren't even intended for human consumption.
The big banks that loan to big farms aren't interested in a half acre of eggplant. And startup farmers like Shields look too risky for most small business loans.
A lot of beginning farmers go into credit card debt because that is the one type of capital that is available to them.
A new microloan program from the USDA aims to fill this gap. Small beginning farmers can get up to $35,000 at about 1% interest.
I'm seeking to reach out to customers that may have never walked through our doors before.
Val Dolcini heads the California Farm Service Agency. He says applications are coming in fast.
A microgreens operation in Sonoma County, a sheep rancher in Solano County, a peach grower in Fresno.
In Escondido, Ray Shields has put in his application to grow organic peppers. He should get about $30,000 just in time for planting season. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, New York City's much-publicized ban on large sugary drinks goes into effect next week, but Starbucks says it's not going to be making any changes right away. The ban does not cover drinks that are more than 50% milk, and Starbucks thinks that means that the venti caramel frappuccino with whipped cream on top is still good to go. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.